you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 239 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Carly Valancy. And I'm really excited to have Carly on the program today because she comes from a background that's near and dear to my heart. Carly is a musical theater actress who has done a lot of work in the Big Apple, New York City. And if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you know that my daughter, in fact, is a musical theater actress living in Hollywood. And she was bicoastal going back and forth to LA and New York for many years and still is pursuing the dream. So it's really interesting for me to have somebody like Carly on the program. And you might ask yourself the question, well, what the heck is an actress doing on a program called The Law Entrepreneur? Well, Carly has created a program along with a previous guest of ours, Molly Beck, and it's called The Reach Out Party. And it's all about creating a network and reaching out to people on a consistent basis. And it is a spectacular resource for solo and small firm practitioners to take advantage of and to model their referral networking or referral marketing a program on. So take a listen to this and see what you think. I'm really excited to present Carly Valancy. Carly Valancy, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. I'm happy to be here.
I am really excited to have you on the program today, Carly. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. I'm Carly. I went to school for musical theater at the University of Northern Colorado. Got my bachelor's in musical theater and dance and acting. Moved to New York City and was working on my career as a performer. And like many other performers, I had many side hustles, as we call them. And I was doing a bunch of different things, but one of the things about being a performer is you go out on a contract, and every job ends.
Right.
One of the worst realizations I had that, you know, wasn't really talked about when I was in school. I was like, okay, every job ends here. So you know, we're constantly thinking of what's going to happen next, which can be pretty stressful. And I found myself coming back to the same survival job, same side hustles, as we call them. And I was working at this coffee shop that was down the block from where I was living at the time in Harlem. And I had just come back from this incredible contract. I was, you know, just a fantastic cast and crew and incredible situation. And I came back and all of a sudden, here I am again as a barista at this coffee shop. And I'm thinking, this is just not sustainable. And I spent so much of my time there thinking about the time that I was wasting by being there. And so I decided that I was going to sort of take my career into my own hands. And then I read this book called Reach Out by Molly Beck. And in it, essentially, she says that if you reach out to one new person every day, you'll reach 261 people in a year. That's so every weekday. And so I thought, well, that's good math. So I started. Right. And sure enough, in about 30 days, I was able to quit my job. I was working, you know, creative jobs that I really loved with passionate people. I was working, teaching meditation. I was just really exercising my creativity in ways that I loved. And after about 100 days, of reaching out consistently, my entire world had changed. Since then, Molly, the author of the book, and I now collaborate on what's called the Reach Out Party. And during right at the start of the pandemic, I founded a company called Valence & Co., where we essentially take inspiration from chemical bonds in combining people that are from different industries and essentially helping others leverage their valence, find their voice, and live a more connected life. I am so excited about this idea, and I have seen incredible things happen for so many people. And I think that, you know, it's really on the basis of building connection and community and collaboration so that others can recognize their possibility and really make the impact they seek to make.
You know, there's so much to unpack there by way of introduction. So let me just start with noting that Molly was a guest of ours back on episode 101. So that was all the way back in March of 2018. And we were talking about the book Reach Out then. So this is timely, kind of as a follow-up to, you know, address somebody who's actually taken the book and put it into practical use in their own life. And then, of course, for me personally, you know, as listeners of this program know, I have an adult actress daughter who lives in Hollywood who is a musical theater artist like yourself. And so this understanding of the going from contract to contract and having a finality of it ending when the show is over is, you know, extremely personally relevant for me. And the idea of reaching out and helping to develop a sustaining network that will bind you over from, you know, contract to contract, from show to show, is really important. And so, you know, people might wonder, well, what are we doing with an actress on this program? I thought this was about building a law practice. Well, I think this is really relevant because for the legal community, referral marketing is the primary source, still remains to this day, the primary method for getting new clients. And reaching out as a method to building that referral base is critical to doing so. So talk to us a little bit about the principles of reaching out and then how you were able to build a reach out party. And what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, the principles of reaching out, it's quite simple, actually. It's just a simple idea taken really seriously. And
that's I think that's so key. I'm going to put that down on my 3x5, index card here and keep it. A simple idea taken really seriously.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot about this idea of specific knowledge when it comes to economics and when it comes to really running a business because, you know, as an attorney, you're really running a business and it takes, you know, a certain level of creativity to delegate and to outsource and to really pay attention to what the market needs and how to get new clients. And I think that I love this idea of taking a simple idea and taking it really seriously because it just speaks to, you know, the fact that if you are not 100% into it, someone else who is 100% into it will outperform you. And something that, you know, has I found to be true in my own reach out practice is that, first of all, the entire world is built on people who didn't know each other meeting, which is a fantastic realization to have. But also, you know, we live in a very hierarchical society, and within every industry lies its own hierarchy. And what I've really just, I think the biggest lesson I've taken for myself is that the opposite of a hierarchy is a network. And if you can move toward building an intentional network every day, just little by little, bit by bit, you know, in 100 days or in a year or in 2 years, you're going to turn around and recognize how much you've actually helped yourselves and also those around you by just moving toward a large goal. Because when people hear, you know, building a network, it seems sort of large and luminous, especially for people who are, you know, solo practitioners or just starting out. And I think that, you know, the key here really is moving toward a big goal, just bit by bit, little by little every day.
This bridges so many concepts that we've talked about before. You know, one of my all-time favorite books is written by a gentleman by the name of James Clear. It's called Atomic Changes.
Atomic Habits.
Atomic Habits, thank you. And as you well know, the basic principle there is to take little tiny steps consistently and build upon them to create a lasting habit. And so this is really important because so many times when attorneys say, well, okay, well, I'm going to build this referral network. I'm going to start reaching out. I'm going to do, you know, 20 contacts a week. And it's an overly ambitious goal. They fail right away, and then they stop, and then say, "Well, you know, referral marketing doesn't work." And so the idea of taking this small step of reaching out to one person a day, Monday through Friday, it's one of those things that you can easily get your arms around and understand and see how that can multiply.
Right. And, you know, by doing a ton upfront, so let's say you do 20 in a week, first of all, your momentum is just you're going to get burnt out.
Right. And
you also won't have the bandwidth to follow up, which is arguably more important than the initial reach out. You know, we're really trying to sustain relationships here. And something that was so attractive about this practice to me as an artist and as a person who just had zero sustainability and zero really grasp on the longevity of how I could create a sustainable creative life, I, you know, thought about this is something that I could continue for really forever. And it's just proven to give me so many gifts in return and really. Also, when you're doing something every day or building a habit, even, you know, three times a week, let's say, just building it into your schedule, your calendar, you get better. It is a skill. Reaching out, communicating with people, showing up for others, it is an absolute skill. And with every reach out you send, you just get better and better.
It also strikes me, you mentioned earlier that business is built on relationships formed between two people who didn't previously really know each other. And it strikes me that, isn't that the whole reason coffee shops exist? I mean, or is a large part of their success is people meeting together at the coffee shop. And, you know, it's a way to reach out, you know, in a personal direct way. Now, that's a little hampered these days with the pandemic, but, you know, clearly there is value in that. Otherwise, you know, in large part, a big segment of their business would go away.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk then about how to get started. I mean, what do you do? I mean, I'm sitting down here with a blank piece of paper. I want the concept to me sounds great. Reach out to one person a day or you know, three a week, one on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, whatever the schedule works out for you. Where do I start? With whom?
Great question. So my favorite way to start is that, you know, something that's so universal about all people in every industry is that, you know, we sort of have this running list of people who we've been quote unquote meaning to reach out to. I mean, I could think of probably 14 people, you know, you think of in the moment, you're like, oh yeah, I should reach out to that person. And then for whatever reason, you don't. So
usually because I have that thought while in the shower.
Exactly. Yeah. Wherever you are, are in the shower, you just don't, or even sitting at your desk. It's just, it's hard to really have that impulse and turn it into action. And I think that's the most important part of really cultivating a meaningful habit, is having that impulse and practicing taking action. So if you're sitting there with a blank piece of paper, just take a moment and pause this episode, right, and, you know, think, who have I been meaning to reach out to that I haven't yet for whatever reason? And just write down some names. And those could be potential clients. Those could be old friends of yours that you haven't connected with. That could be, you know, your mom's friend's son's cousin. I mean, it's really, you want to get into the practice of reaching out, not only for, I mean, primarily to grow your business and to find potential clients, but really in order to get into the habit, you need to just start anywhere. I mean, start with your fourth grade teacher. Just start asking people for advice. And once you can find that momentum, then you will, you know, there are reach outs everywhere. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think as attorneys, we oftentimes over-engineer the problem. Yeah. And we write that name down. And then the first thing we say is, now, why am I really contacting them? Or what is it that they can do for me? Which is, of course, the wrong way to look at that. And what I like about your methodology is it focuses on relationships that kind of already exist that have gone dormant.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for sort of reframing how we're showing up in people's inboxes. Let's say if we're messaging them on LinkedIn or through their email, it's, you know, obviously the first thought is, oh, maybe this person could help me out, or maybe this person could give me some business, or maybe this person knows someone who could give me some business. But really, being able to flip the script and say, how can I show up for them? How can I show up to give? And how can I help them out? Because that's really what's going to sustain the longevity of these relationships and build that real trust of a network that feels safe and comfortable and, you know, is being able to show up for others so that they can show up for you.
Yeah. And so does it end up being just kind of, hey, how you doing? Been thinking about you kind of contact? Or is it something more strategic?
Great question. So a little bit, I would say I'd meet you in the middle there.
Okay.
Most important rule of sending these reach outs is to get really specific. Anyone could send an email that says, hey, hope you're doing well. Been thinking about you, and let me know, we can get a call and catch up. Or, you know, that's just a sort of generic email that anyone could send.
And my first reaction to that usually is, yeah, sure.
Right, exactly. No one wants to be on the receiving end of that either. So a big thing that Molly and I talk about a lot is showing up with a gift. So a gift could be a really specific compliment. A gift could be a podcast episode you think that they would like, or an article that you've read, something interesting that you've seen in the news. But you really want to get super, super specific and say, hey, I'm reaching out to you because, or your work inspires me because. And I think the best question to ask yourself is why. If you want to tell someone that you really love their work, like let's say someone wanted to reach out to you and say, I love this podcast. You'd want to ask yourself why, and then include a couple sentences that are really sort of, you know, only you could send. That's the key to reach outs. So you want to think, if you read it back and you think, oh, anyone could send this, go back to the drawing board. The key is reading your message and thinking, oh, this is something that could literally only come from me.
Today's episode is brought to you by the team at Spotlight Branding. For many years, lawyers like you have spent thousands of dollars on marketing campaigns that generate tons of leads, but often left many of them in the dust once the campaign ended. Spotlight Branding has found a better way. Their content loop system not only nurtures all of your leads and contacts in perpetuity, but It's done by pushing out quality evergreen content that elevates your credibility and helps the rest of your marketing efforts actually work. Spotlight Branding's content loop makes it nearly impossible for your network to forget about you, which means they'll think of you first when they or someone they know needs legal help. Spotlight Branding has turned hundreds of lawyers across the country into the go-to attorney in their community with their content loop by producing engaging content that speaks to your clients' needs and fears, and they can do the same for you. To get started, they're offering listeners of The Law Entrepreneur a free download that explains the content loop and how you can put it into practice in your law firm's marketing strategy. Just go to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, spotlightbranding.com/TLE to get your copy. Spotlight Branding, more referrals, better clients, higher ROI. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details in communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. Do you have a preference as to the delivery system for these reach outs?
I really prefer email. Anything works. I mean, I've sent reach outs over LinkedIn, over Instagram, over Twitter. Really anything works, but I prefer email.
You know, I have a friend of mine who's a builder, and he's marginally technically competent on all these platforms. He's a big telephone guy, and he's oftentimes driving from, you know, one job site to another, and he's legendary for reaching out of the blue. Just going through a list of phone numbers, calling somebody, and literally says, "Hey, I'm in the car and thinking about you. I haven't spoken in a long time. Just wanted to catch up. You know, what's going on?"
Yes, I love this. This is, I mean, another great way to start. Look at the clients you already do have. Check in with them. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, It can take all kinds of forms. It can be, as you said, email or any of the other social media platforms, but also handwritten cards or even a phone call is a great way of reaching out.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you force multiply that? So let's, you know, I have a list of 20. All right, that gets me through a month worth of calls. If we're going to do this for a year, where am I going to come up with the rest of them?
Well, I think the key is sometimes we get sort of stuck in that that momentous, you know, that larger question. And I think that the most important thing to do is to start. If you have 20, even if you have one, start. And, you know, trust that the more you do it, again, it is a practice, and it is an evolving, I mean, it is something that you get better at. It's a skill. So let's say, you know, if you get 1% better every day for taking that idea, then in 20 days, you'll be 20% better than you were today. So, you know, you can only imagine that 20 days from now, you'll be thinking of more and more names, more creative ways to pay attention, to reach out. And again, it's like, we want to think about the edge of our network. So that's where the magic happens. It's not the people that we don't know at all. I mean, sometimes it is. And it's not the people that are already in our main inner circle. It's the people right on the edge of the network, the friend of a friend that can really help move your work forward. And again, referral marketing, it's huge. And go ahead.
It's funny that you would use the phrase friend of a friend, because again, there's another book written by just that title. And the author has been a guest on the program. And his name is just escaping me right at the moment. I'm looking over at my bookshelf to see if I can see it. I'll come up with it here in a second. And his point was just that the David Berkus, is his name. His point was just that the real growth is at the edge of the network.
Right. Right. And I mean, that can come in many different forms. One of my favorite questions to ask myself is, whose work do I love? Who is doing what I want to be doing in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? Those are the people on the edge of your network. And, you know, when you ask yourself, what's the hard part? You know, it's not the other lawyer, it's not the client or the case or the judge, it's getting the business, right? And it's always, I think in any industry, getting the business is just the most stressful part. And the more you can reserve a little bit of time to move toward that every day, the less stressful, the less of a looming, scary thing it becomes.
Yeah, so let me just correct the record here, as we attorneys like to do. David Berkus wrote the book, Friend of a Friend. He was a guest on the program on episode 119. So that was back in August of 2018. By the way, he also has a new book out called Pick a Fight, which is an interesting concept there as well, that attorneys might be well advised to pay attention to. It's basically, pick a cause to fight for and let that drive some of your marketing and business development approaches. So I apologize for blanking on David's name. He's been a good friend of the program. So right. I just wanted to correct that record. Friend of a Friend is the name of the book, and highly, highly recommend it. So do you also then advocate that in the course of reaching out to somebody, did you ask the question, who else may I reach out to, or who else might you recommend that I touch base with?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a great strategy. I wouldn't use it in every reach out.
Right.
But when, you know, if I have a feeling that this person has a large network, or this person is really responsive, maybe not in the initial reach out, but if this person gets back to you and is friendly and willing to help you out, I think asking a specific question is just so long as you make it specific. If you say, you know, who else do you think I should connect with? If this person doesn't know you, that's going to be hard to answer. But if you can ask in a way that is, I'm passionate about this kind of work. I'm passionate, you know, I'm excited by meeting people who blank. Do you know anyone that fits this description? Can you connect us?
Right.
So, you know, you really don't want to create homework for the other person.
So you did mention previously that the follow-up sometimes is more important than the initial contact. So how are you managing that? And is the follow-up reach out, that's part of the count, so to speak, if you were trying to be anal about your counting? Or does it have to be every reach out is a unique contact?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I absolutely count the follow-up.
Good.
You know, I have Molly and I track our reach outs in an Excel spreadsheet, and it's fascinating to just sort of look back and see our network literally on an Excel spreadsheet, see the connections that have maybe dimmed that I want to rekindle, see the connections that I don't want to rekindle. It's, you know, not necessary anymore.
Right.
But the way that I keep up with follow-ups is that when I feel like I want to, you know, in a month, in 3 months, in 6 months, want to follow up with someone, I'll highlight it on my reach out tracker. I'll put it into my calendar and, you know, treat it like it's something that I, you know, it's something more, even more important than on a to-do list.
So here's the geek in me coming out. I'm kind of looking at the spreadsheet in my head and I'm thinking, okay, what kind of data is on that spreadsheet? I'm obviously got the name of the contact, maybe their email address or pertinent contact information, the date you reached out to them. What other kinds of things are you tracking?
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned this. I love the data. And, you know, the reach out tracker that we use inside of the reach out party will auto-populate your statistics, which is pretty great. So essentially we have...
So you built the bells and whistles into it already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
a geek after my own heart there, Carly.
Absolutely, I love it. And it's fascinating, you know, to see other people's data too and compare. So we've got the date of the reach out, the person's name, how you know them. So if you know this person, how you know them, and if you don't know this person, how you found them.
Mm-hmm.
The target's job title, the contact method is on there. So email, Twitter, LinkedIn, et cetera. The reach out type. So we go by the reach outs that Molly writes about in her book. There's 5 types of reach outs. And then we do a little brief email description. And then there's a box for if they responded, yes or no, what date they responded, and then a box for outcome, and then any additional notes. So usually in the additional notes section, I'll write, you know, follow up in 6 months and I'll highlight it so I can remember. But it's pretty incredible. Within our community, we have about 6 people who have reached 100 reach outs in the past 4 months. So we've taken all of our data, so their data and Molly's and mine, and we have I think around an 87% response rate, which is just absolutely unbelievable.
In terms of 87% response, in terms of what the people that you have reached out to have responded back to you?
Responded back, exactly.
Okay. And when you say it auto-populates some of the data, what is it filling in?
So it's filling in which kind of reach out you sent. So if you're sending a friend of a friend versus like a cool reach out where you don't know this person.
Okay.
And then it populates if, you know, you got a response, yes or no. And also in the outcome. So there's a little section if something happened, whether maybe you got some business from this person, maybe you got to speak on their podcast, you know, if something happened from a reach out, mm-hmm. then it populates that as well.
Okay, great. So let's talk about this reach out party. I don't really quite get what that is. So help me to understand.
So the reach out party is essentially a place where many individuals from different industries come together to send a reach out in real time every day for 27 days. So we run these cohorts about every 6 weeks. Molly and I do it together. And the idea started because I, you know, like I said, realized that this practice has so incredible for my own life, and I watched it in others, and I thought, how could we, you know, create some accountability for people, create some inspiration for people, and get together, you know, in real time and do it. So I confronted Molly. I set up like a pitch meeting with Molly, and she loved the idea, and we started collaborating. something I think is so fascinating is that, you know, when Molly wrote the book, she comes from a marketing background and she's in the tech startup world in marketing. And obviously that was very far away from what I was doing at the time when I implemented the practices in her book. And so I thought, this has got to be valuable for anyone in any industry. So it sort of became my mission to experiment with, you know, how would it affect people to really bring people together who are artists, who are attorneys, who are marketers, who are podcast hosts, who are orthodontists. I mean, we really run the gamut and right. We have so many dynamic, unique people reaching out all for different purposes. And essentially what we do in the reach out party is we get together and we have what's called a kickoff where Molly and I lead everyone who's new to the reach out party through the different types of reach outs, how to do it, the real tactical practice of reaching out. And then we gather together on Zoom every day, every weekday for 27 weekdays. And we begin with a little bit of inspiration. We, you know, talk about different tactics and tell, you know, stories of reach outs. And then we all go on mute and use it like a co-working space for 20 minutes. And I think the great thing about this is we do it once in the morning and once in the evening, 9:27 Eastern and 5:27 Eastern. So twice a day. And you can choose whichever session works with your schedule. It's really not a lot of time. So what's great is that you get on, it's less than a half hour, and we really use the constraint of time to our benefit. Something that I struggled a lot with when I first started reaching out is sometimes I would think, I don't know enough to reach out to this person yet. I need to do some research. And then I'd put it off and then days would go by. And right. You know, it ended up taking me 2 hours to pull the trigger on an email. And so what we do at the reach out party is try and challenge ourselves to send a really awesome, specific reach out in 20 minutes. And then, you know, we can close the loop and go on with our day. And so it's been incredible. We've had since April, we've had about 300 people move through the reach out party. And it's become this incredible community. Again, just by joining the party, you're a part of this network. And I think it's just so important to be building, especially now during the pandemic and as the world continues to change in such new directions, to really build your network outside of your inner circle, outside of your industry too.
There's so many really great things about this that I can see for the legal community. Hmm. Because I mean, so often, you know, and I'm going to just paint myself as the biggest culprit here. You know, this is a great idea. I'd like to do it. And I'm going to put it on my list of things to do. And then, of course, I never get around to doing it. If you embark on something like this for the 27-day challenge, if you will, you're already building in some accountability. You're already building in some momentum. It's a great way to kick off the process and build that habit over the course of 27 days. And it sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, it really is a party. We have a great time. We play music. And
it's not that big a time commitment.
It's really not. And you get to meet so many interesting people that I think the biggest surprise to me, what I thought the reach out party would be is a place for accountability, a place for people to begin the habit. And while it is all those things, I think the most surprising thing is that, you know, by meeting people who don't do exactly what you do, you develop this curiosity and this just sort of passion for what other people are doing. And I think that's been so influential for me as a, you know, running a business and for others too, is is that you need to lean into that curiosity, and you need to be able to think outside the box, and just being in the presence of other people who don't do what I do just makes my work move that much faster.
Well, I think for attorneys in particular, we're often guilty of staying in our lane.
Right.
And, you know, preaching to the choir, to use as many metaphors as I can in one paragraph. And so we reach out to other attorneys or other people in the legal profession. And we, you know, attorneys are notorious for not having the skill set to sound like anything other than an attorney. You can pick them out in a crowd. And I think one of the great things about this is that by enhancing the opportunity to meet and work with other folks from other industries, you're going to develop that skill set that allows you to talk to other folks. And let's face it, when you do that in your own reach out program, you're going to find the opportunity to develop clients and relationships that you might not otherwise discover.
Right. And, you know, something else to just note is that when you see other people finding success and doing something that's working, it's like the inspiration breeds inspiration. And I think the most important, I keep saying that, it's all important.
Yeah.
But one of the most important things is simply, and this is a thing for attorneys, this is a thing for human beings, is the belief in ourselves that we can do what we set our mind to. And that is such a, you know, a hard thing to get over, that imposter syndrome, and to really take some action toward our long-term future. It's hard. And so when you see other people doing it, no matter what industry they're in, whether they're, you know, a composer or an attorney, it's so incredible to watch people just transform in their confidence and the belief in themselves that they can do it and do it well.
Well, it's fascinating and exhilarating and really interesting. And I wish you all the best with it. Don't be surprised if you see my name pop up in the party here sometime shortly. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you, how they can find out about a reach out party, and how maybe they might be able to get involved.
Absolutely. And Neil, I'm dying to get you in the party. You would love it. Bring your daughter too.
I will.
It's funny. We have some family team. We have a mother-son team. We have a brother-sister team. It's great.
Yeah.
You can find me at valenceandco.com, valenceandco.com. My contact info is on there. I'm Carly at valenceandco.com. And whether about the reach out party or not, I just love connecting with people. I'm obsessed with people. So I'd love to chat. And you'll find all the info about our upcoming reach out parties on there. We're currently in cohort 5, and we're gonna do a smaller session in December and kick off a larger one in January. But yeah, would love to get anyone and everyone involved.
All right. Well, it sounds great. Well, Carly, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us today, and I wish you all the best. And let's see how many folks we can get on Reach Out Party.
Absolutely. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks again for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur. Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Daylight, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility, and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.